Well, guys, we are in the book of John, and we're in chapter 11, and I'm going to finish out chapter 11 today. Remember, Sandra preached last week, chapter 11. Do you remember what she preached on? Yeah, chapter 11. Steve gets the prize. What's chapter 11? What was it about? Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. The last thing that she said, and I don't have this up there, Tony, but she said this, verse 44, the man who had died came out. Remember, Jesus stood at the tomb, and he goes, Lazarus, come out. And it says, the man who had died came out, his hands and feet were bound with linen strips and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. And we're going to pick it up in verse 45 and end up through verse 57, which finishes it out. And in these particular verses, Jesus is only a secondary character. The situation that is happening here is between the people who believe and the people that don't. And what are they going to do about it? And I love, if you look at this, when Jesus called Lazarus to come out, he stood at the tomb and he called, Lazarus, come out. And remember, they were worried at first, said, no, let's don't open the tomb. You know, oh, we wish he wouldn't have died. But okay, I'm going to raise him up. No, don't, because he stinks, you know. He's been in there 4 days. But he did it anyway. And when he came out, he says, unbind him and let him go. Do you see what it says? Linen strips. His hands and feet were bound. You know, oftentimes our hands are bound. You know, when it comes time to serve, it's like, you know, I just don't have time for that. I've got a whole plate full. My hands, you know, so I'll tell you what, I'll give you a $20 bill and you go feed the homeless or you go take care of the people. And then it says the feet. You know, what if God tells you or calls you to go into a situation, to move? God says, I want you to go here. I want you to speak to these people. And you're like, no, my feet are bound. And then it says there was a linen strips across his face. His face was wrapped in a cloth. Are we hungry for the Word of God? Are you hungry for the Word of God, or are we just, you know, dead and we've got that grave cloth over our face? Well, today we're going to have to face that question. What is it that we believe, and what are we going to do about it? This is what it says in chapter 11, starting in verse 45. Many, and underline that, many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what he did, believed in him, but some, underline some, of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. You see what happens here? They come and they're comforting Mary and Martha and their family, and they're saying, Jesus, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And they're sobbing and crying, and Jesus says, watch this, boom. And he brings them back to life. And so many see that. And they've seen the signs. They've heard the wonders that Jesus has already been performing. And so they see this. And it says there, many of the Jews therefore believed in him. Jesus' miracle of raising Lazarus had fruit. Do you see that? And it was through that fruit, through that sign that Jesus did, that it brought people to faith in Jesus Christ. This is the Son of God. This is the man who claimed who he is. He's not a liar. He's not a fanatic. He is who he says he is. By the power of Jesus' word, by the power of his voice, the dead are raised. They came for a funeral, and instead they saw something awesome. They saw a man who was living. Isn't it amazing that Lazarus came out of the tomb? And we see in our own times, you know, many of us, sometimes we see people that have come out of ungodly lives, unholy situations, because they understand that saving power when Jesus stands at the door and knocks and he says, you know what, Paul, come out. And he calls us by our name, and we see and know and understand who Jesus is, maybe for the very first time in our life. But that's not the only ones who were there. There were some who did not believe. What would it take? I mean, Lazarus, they just saw a man who was dead 4 days come out. And what do they think? I think maybe he may be who he says he is, but this is kind of weird. Let's go talk to the Pharisees about it. You know? We want to try to stem this. How do you avoid the fact that Jesus is the Son of God? Some did. Verse 31, Jesus raises him from the dead. Remember what Jesus says in Luke. Jesus is talking about in the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And he's going like, well, you know, tell him to dip his finger in water and bring it to me. He's like, no, there's too big of a gulf. You can't get there. You know, you got your stuff in the life. He got his stuff, so now he's being taken care of. You're not being taken care of. It's your fault. Of course, he doesn't say that. I'm paraphrasing, but that's pretty much the thought there, right? And so what does he say? Well, at least go back and tell my family so they'll know and they'll understand. And what does Jesus say? This is what he says in Luke. He says, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, in other words, there were signs, there were words all along. And if they didn't listen to them, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. You see, this is happening here. He's talking about his own death and resurrection. But you see the same thing with the raising of Lazarus. Some people saw the miracle and yet still didn't like it. The text says that the Jews are concerned because Jesus performs many signs. Let's look at verse 47. So the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered the council and said, what are we to do? For this man performs many signs. Remember, he healed the paralytic. Remember, he's done all of these miracles around. He's fed the 5,000 men plus all the women and children that were there. He's done all of these things. And each step along the way, they see these miracles, they see these signs, and yet still don't believe. He's taking away something from us. He's taking away our power. He's stripping us of our ability to lead and to rule. This one man, by being this one man magic show, is kind of bringing out the crowds. And we're losing our position. The raising of Lazarus is just the latest. It's the coup de grace of these signs and the miracles. Verse 48, if we let him go, this is what they say, if we let him go on like this, everyone will believe him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. What is the concern here? Again, it's our power. You know, if we let Jesus keep doing what he's doing, you know what he's going to do? He's going to get all the fan base. He's going to get all the people. And what's going to happen then? Rome's going to step in and say, wait a minute, what about Caesar? And so they're concerned not only about Rome taking over Israel, the Jewish people, they're worried about their own position and power within the community. I mean, the Pharisees were it. They didn't like something and they told you your the rest of your life was ruined. Families were separated. It was a horrible thing. They just didn't do this willy-nilly. They were very meticulous with the rules and the laws. In fact, what were they upset about Jesus a couple of times? Because he healed on the Sabbath. Not the fact that he made a blind man see. Not because he healed a paralytic by the pool in Bethesda. But what he does, he's looking at them saying, like, he broke the law. He broke the Sabbath. And that's a law. So they weren't just willy-nilly. I mean, they weren't just throwing arbitrary things out there. They were holding fast to what they believed, but what they believed was not the heart of what God had in store for his people. And so when they looked at Jesus, they see all the signs, they see all the wonders, they see all of the stuff that Jesus is doing in his life. And as he comes forth and he's doing all of these things, what are they concerned about? They're going to see him. And if Rome sees them, then they're going to step in and we're not going to have anything. We've been in captivity before. Look at our history. We were under the Egyptians. We were under the Babylonians. We were under the Assyrians. We're still just a little nation in the midst of this Roman monarchy or republic that's just going crazy. We're really not important. We can't afford to give up anything else. The fear is that Jesus will gain followers as a political messiah and draw the attention of the Romans as a threat to control their area. And the irony is, despite all of that, despite trying to manipulate this so that it would not happen, a few years later it does happen under the Roman Emperor Titus. He destroys and disperses Israel. Well, let's go on. Let's just keep reading. But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you understand that it is better for you that one man should die for the people, not that the whole nation should perish. And he did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also to gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. In other words, Caiaphas doesn't know it as a high priest, but he is prophesying here. Listen to what he says. He says two things. Number one, it's better for one man to die for the nation than for the whole nation to disappear, right? So he's basically saying, you know what? It's better for Jesus to die for the people so that the people can be saved. He doesn't realize that he's prophesying that there. I love what Gamaliel says in Acts. He's talking about the apostles as they are standing there, and they're trying to decide what they're doing. Is these apostles are teaching what Christ had taught them, and they're standing up boldly proclaiming, and they're saying, like, okay, we're going to beat you. They said, go ahead, beat us. Because do we listen to you or do we listen to God? And when it comes down to that, beat us all you want because we're going to listen to God, right? Again, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the thought there. And so what does Gamaliel say? He says in Acts chapter 5, he says, if this is the undertaking of man, it's going to fail. In other words, let them keep doing what they're doing, because if it's of man, eventually it's going to run out of steam. It's going to fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. And he's talking about the apostles. And it's the same thing maybe here as Caiaphas is looking on the other side of the coin. He's saying, like, we've got to stop this. Because if we don't, maybe if this is from God, it's going to cause problems for us the rest of the way. So Caiaphas says that it's better for one man to die. You know, we don't want Rome to come and destroy the nation. Guess what? Rome eventually comes and destroys their nation. Second, it's better for Jesus to die for the people. And what does Jesus do? He dies for the people. And it says not just for the people, but his people that were scattered. And guess what? That's us. That's us. We've been grafted into the family of God through the death of Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? That we are now children of God. Going on, verses 51 and 52, it says this. He did not say this of his own accord, but being high priest, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but to gather into one the children of God. And that's us. Those of us that are Christ followers that say, you know what? I was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, I was dead, but now I'm alive. This gives the context to know that Jesus isn't dying for the political reality of Israel as a nation. He doesn't care about the ethnic reality of, you know, are you going to hold your position? You know, we as Jews, you know, we're God's chosen, and so we're going to rule the world. Jesus isn't concerned about that. He is concerned about Jews and Gentiles, that all people that are created in the image of God would come to know God the Father. He came first for the Jews. He said that. And when they turned their back, he opened it up to everybody else. He talked to the Samaritans. He talked to the Gentiles. Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he was going around and arresting the little Christs, the Christian, that's what it meant, as he was going around trying to stamp that out. Again, not willy-nilly. He was the Pharisee of Pharisees, and what he was doing was trying to hold people accountable to the law that he grew up with, the law that he knew. But Jesus is talking about a new covenant. And when he was blinded by the light, and knocked off of the donkey, or however you want to read it, when he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, man, he went after the Gentiles like there was no tomorrow, because for many there is no tomorrow. You got to know this man. You got to love this man. This man did this for you. I was the chief of sinners, but he saved me, and if he can save me, he can save you. So what is the application for us? We don't ask like what the Jewish leaders ask, you know, what's best for my own gain? That's what the world does. The world says, you know, what's best for me? We go see psychiatrists and we go see psychologists. Why? Because we want to feel better about ourselves. And so we go and they say, hey, do what makes you happy. Take these pills or do this activity or breathe or do these things and you'll feel better. And what happens is we don't feel better. Somehow we live in a time and you look at our world is turned upside down. Social media makes us angry and bitter and worried and stuff like that. I never want to be political up here, but I was driving in the mountains with my seven-year-old, both of my grandkids, but my seven-year-old, Ridge. They play, they watch YouTube videos. Sorry, y'all at home, just kind of follow my rabbit trail here. They watch videos of people playing videos. That's what kids are doing today. It's like, I want to watch, or they watch kids opening a package. They're unwrapping this toy and playing with this toy. It's like, why don't you buy the toy, open it yourself and play with it? But so anyway, okay, now I'll get back. It's beyond me. Anyway, he's in the back seat and he says, you know what? I can't vote for Warnock. And I'm like, what? And he says, because he's going to raise our taxes. And I said, okay. And he goes, I can't vote for Herschel Walker. I said, what? He goes, because he's a liar. Because he sees these political ads that come on in these little snippets. So here's this seven-year-old, and I'm looking back at him and say, well, it's a good thing you can't vote then. You know, you're seven. You know, why don't you grow up and do something about all of this? I don't know. But we are so controlling. We think that if we put our faith in our government, that they're going to fix everything. When has our government ever been able to fix anything? It hasn't. What about the lust in our own self? You know, if I only had a new house, if I only had a new car, if I only had a new job, if I only had a new wife, if I only had better kids, if I only had, if I only, if I only, if I only, what makes me happy? And we find out when we try to control the situation, what happens? We are left just as empty and just as frustrated and just as depressed as we were when we started, except more in debt. Because now we're having to pay off those things. And that's what the leaders were trying to do. I'm going to try to control the situation. It's better for us to arrest and kill Jesus and get him to shut up so that we can still hold power within this Roman world. And both fail. Though they do crucify Christ, but he comes back. And people see him. And they can't stop Rome. Do we try to hold on to our power or do we humbly submit to Jesus? Do we, you know, give Jesus our heart? We say like, yes, Lord, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. But don't make me do this and don't make me say that. Don't make me read this. Don't make me do that. You know, is it that kind of thing? We just want to dabble with Jesus because what are we deciding? Are we going to be like the many who see the signs that Jesus has done and the miracles that he continues to pour out in our lives each and every day? Are we going to believe that and be like the many? Are we going to be like the some? We see the miracles. We know that he answers prayer, but because he didn't answer this prayer, then forget him. You know, I want a little bit of Jesus, not a lot. I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him to save me, but I don't want him to be my Lord. I don't want to have to follow him, you know? Can't we all just get along? You know, can't we all just love each other and the world be a better place? No, we can't. You know why? Because we're human. We're selfish, you know? Yeah, I'll get along with you until I see something that you have that I want. Then I'm going to take it. I mean, that's the way we are. We're flawed. We're broken. But God loves us anyway, y'all. What will you do with Jesus? You see, Jesus always causes us to have some kind of decision. Verse 53, verse 53 going on. Let's just finish the chapter. So from that day on, they made plans to put him to death. In other words, we don't want to just arrest him anymore. We want to stamp him out. We want to stop it. We want to stop the voice. Jesus, therefore, no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went there from the region near the wilderness to a town called Ephraim, and there he stayed with the disciples. In other words, from this point on, we're almost halfway through John chapter 11. There are 10 more chapters. We've seen Jesus kind of engaging with the Pharisees all along. He's doing miracles. He's healing. From this point on, starting in chapter 12 through the end, he's going to be imparting wisdom and knowledge and instructions to the disciples. And we get to be privy to those conversations. Because he's not just talking to those disciples. He's talking to us. That's the transition. We're going to see up to this point, Jesus is going around. He's been out in the open. From this point on, he's going to be back in the shadows until, look at verse 55. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and many went up from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And they were looking for Jesus and saying to one another as they stood in the temple, what do you think? That he will not come to the feast at all? You remember what the three big major Jewish festivals were? The biggest one is the Passover. Every Jewish male had to be there. Oh, Jesus will be there. It's going to be the week that they kill him. And it's amazing that they are going ahead to purify themselves. Why? Because they think they're right. They're righteous. We're holy. We're doing all the things that the law tells us and commands us to do. And we're just going on and on about it. And Jesus is coming back. And it's going to be a horrible week. It's going to start out great. It's going to come in riding on a donkey. And we know from the Old Testament, like Absalom riding on a donkey, whenever a king rides on a donkey, it signifies a victory. In other words, I'm going to show you. I'm coming in on a donkey. That's how powerful I am. You are nothing. So Jesus comes in as king on a donkey. But oh my, how it turns quickly a different direction. And the same people that cheered Hosanna to the King of Kings turn and say, crucify him. As I conclude, that the central point in this whole thing, I think, is the fact when Caiaphas says it's better for one person to die for the nation, that Jesus would die for the people. And we see that this prophecy is later fulfilled in this very gospel account. In verse 52, we know that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but to gather into one nation the children of God who are scattered abroad, and that's all of us. So what will you do with Jesus? There's a cost to that saving faith. Each of us has to make a calculation of how that faith in Jesus is going to affect us. Think about the story of the rich young ruler. You remember that? It's like, Jesus, I love you. And he goes, man, I love you too. He says, I followed all the rules. He goes, that's great. But there's one thing you need to do. Go sell everything you have and then come follow me. And the guy goes, bye. It says he went away sad. And Jesus was sad and upset. Said Jesus loved him. The guy ran up to him and said, man, I want to follow you. I want to, but not everything. I want to give you my life, but not everything. I want to give you a little bit, but not everything. It's not just the rich young ruler. Jesus says for us to forsake everything and follow him. What are we going to do? Jesus says to love him with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. But what are we do? You know, what's our choice? So how will you respond? Paul says this in Galatians, and this is what I want to end with. Paul, who had pretty much everything that you would need, he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was a successful tent maker. He was well-liked, very well-educated, very smart. But coming to a saving knowledge through Jesus Christ, this is what he says in his letter to the Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray. Father, I pray as we continue to study your word and let your words just pour over us. Father, I pray that we would do a checkup from the neck up, Father, about where we are. What we believe, how we believe. Do we believe you are who you say you are and the things that you did, or do we just dabble with you? Father, I pray that for each of us that we would just inspect our hearts, inspect our own lives. And I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit would just pour out on all of us and would reveal to us truth. Father, that you would give us wisdom to navigate this world in such a way that we could be lights that shine in the darkness. That our church here, Father, could be a beacon of hope and joy and peace in a community that's filled with anger and separateness. Father, we just pray that Jesus would be Jesus. And that he would be not just Savior, but he would be the Lord of our lives. And Father, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.